My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Come on, clap your hands and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. It's Pentecost Sunday. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the house. And my, doesn't it feel good to be in His presence? Praise God, praise God. Well, we're so thankful, grateful to be back with you in Pensacola. The Lord is doing wonderful things today, and we want to continue in the flow of the Holy Ghost, allow the Lord to work, and believe God to fill people with the Holy Ghost to do miracles, signs, and wonders today. We're excited, along with you, about the service tonight. And tonight I feel some direction to believe God for the miraculous, the supernatural healing. If you need a miracle, please be here tonight. Bring someone with you. And God will be pouring out the Holy Ghost as always. And believe with me, and let's just expect an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? And so we're thankful today. We honor and respect greatly Pastor and Sister Kinsey, the ministry, staff, team, Brother Stafford, and the Strobles, and all the wonderful staff here. And I know you're standing, so I want to go to the word of the Lord directly in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, and while you're turning there, let me say what a blessing it is to have my dear wife, Miranda, with me. She's a wonderful woman of faith and prayer, a powerful woman of God, and I appreciate her ministry. Isaiah chapter 59, we'll read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. If you have that, say amen. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Pray with me. Father, we pray today for every soul in this house. This church is a lighthouse to a community, to a state. God, where people can come and experience your salvation. God, I pray against every obstacle that would hinder any soul, God, from being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I pull down every stronghold of resistance or pride or reluctancy in the name of Jesus Christ. Set your people free here today. We pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you for standing to honor the word of the Lord. And today is Pentecost Sunday, and we celebrate the birth of the church. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost began in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Oh, thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Thank God that I received the Holy Ghost as a 15-year-old boy. God worked a miracle in my life. And God wants to do it for each one of you today. I want to preach to you from the subject this morning, from Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, from the subject, "You are within reach." And look at your neighbor and say, "You are within reach." As an evangelist, I've had a wonderful privilege of being in a number of churches, preaching to souls of all form and fashion, from all cultures, nationalities, and I thank God for the opportunity. But at the same time, I have left many services, most services, wondering if I had reached every soul under the sound of my voice, if my words had fallen on deaf ears, if people had responded and all those that could have responded. I rejoice and celebrate with those who receive the Holy Ghost or receive a miracle of healing in the altar or get baptized in Jesus' name. I rejoice and I celebrate, but in the depth of my heart, I wonder, are there some that did not respond? And oh God, how inadequate I feel so often as just a mere mortal, only using words and phrases, and many times in somewhat of a lacking fashion. My vocabulary, my southern vernacular may not be reaching to somebody in the way, in the fashion that it could be, but oh God, I feel those inadequacies as the evangelist. But at the same time, I know that it's not just my abilities, and it's not my IQ level, and it's not my natural means, but this is a God calling, and God has placed this anointing upon my life, and only by that means can I stand in a pulpit before such great a people and say, thus saith the word of God. You are within reach. The power of God has not subsided. It has not abated. But though I'm lacking as a mere mortal, the power of God is strong and available, and it's still working in this hour, in this culture. Oh, thank God for that. And so it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's not by our intellect or our abilities, but it's by the calling and the anointing of God. And so we step into that and we operate by faith. And this morning, I feel an urgency in my spirit. There are those that I'm ministering to, and you feel like you're in a dark place, and you've been forgotten. Maybe even you feel like the thoughts of God are not even about you, but the Scripture tells us that He devises means. He works on your behalf. And for I know the thoughts towards you, to give you a future and a hope. We know that God has been thinking about you. He's been working things out. You're not here by accident. Though your relative may have pressured you or persuaded you to come, though your friend may have invited you, you don't know why. It's because the will of God is being done in your life at this moment. And you're here. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost was poured out to the Jewish people, but it was some time before the Gentiles would receive the Holy Ghost. The Samaritans in Acts chapter 8 received the Holy Ghost. Finally, in Acts chapter 10, we see the Gentiles being filled with the Holy Ghost in the household of Cornelius. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. For now that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. It goes on to say, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46 tells us that this was the sign that they had received the Holy Ghost, for they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. The same symbol that was given in Acts chapter 2 when they received the Holy Ghost. And it's the same thing that happened to me as a 15-year-old young man. God filled my heart. I began to speak in a language that I had never understood before. It was surely not by my abilities, but it was a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God for that experience. I was among those who thought that I was not qualified to receive it. I thought that my personality was not substantial enough. I thought that my heritage was not enough. And it took me some time to come to the realization that the Holy Ghost is for whosoever will. You don't have a family heritage of being Pentecostal, that's all right. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost the same way. I'll go further and to say, even if you don't totally understand all that happens in that experience, if you have faith and believe that God wants to do it for you, it can happen. Your understanding does not have to be well put together. The Bible tells us it's for whosoever will. You may not have been to Bible college yet. You may have not been to seminary or to understand these theological principles yet. But I want to tell you, I've prayed for hundreds of people who have come to an altar, lifted their hands and their voice, and just said, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And it happened for them just the same way that it happened for me. Oh, thank God this morning. I came with a word for you. You are within reach. You are within reach. One of the greatest keys that puts you within reach of the hand of God is being honest with yourself and being honest with God. I find that if a person will be honest, there's no other obstacles that can keep them from God. They're within reach if they're honest before God. I've failed you, Lord. I've messed up many times. I don't even remember all of my mistakes, but I'm honest enough to say that I need your forgiveness and your mercy. I find when people have that attitude that there's nothing that can keep them from the presence of God. A brother may look with an eye of condemnation. A family member may look with an eye of condemnation. But I want to tell you, there's a father standing with open arms who is saying, whosoever will, let them come to me and I will receive them. You see, people's grace and mercy has a short end, but God's mercy and his grace is far reaching. You may have worn out all your earthly resources. You may have received all the favors that your family will give you at this point. But I want to tell you, there's an arm of the Lord that's still substantial and it's still reaching. And you are within reach of God. You may have prayed through 10 times, but I want to tell you one more time, God is calling you and he will receive you if you're willing to honestly repent of your sins and say, God, I need you to cleanse me and to wash me and to purge me. Oh, hallelujah. You're within reach. The Bible proclaims that we are to leave sin behind. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And while we speak of the mercy and grace and the kindness of God as being far-reaching, if you understand the scriptures at all, you know there is a challenge to redirect your life and to come out of a sinful nature, to be filled with God's presence, to have a new nature put in you. Isaiah chapter 59 is a wonderful portion of scripture, but it is extremely direct and to the point. And as I look at Isaiah chapter 59, I see that the prophet was analyzing the people of Israel. He's saying to himself, there is a problem with the people of Israel. Their prayers are not being answered in the fashion that maybe they should be. They're not as blessed as they could be. And the heart of this prophet is looking out among the people and he's saying, there is a problem. There is an obstruction. There is a barricade in the highway of blessing. And he tries to figure out what is the barricade. What is the problem? What is the obstacle that is keeping people from their blessing? And many of you are asking the same question. God, why haven't you brought the blessing that I need? Why haven't I yet been healed of my infirmities? And why hasn't my family experienced the peace and the joy like we should? And so each of us at times ask that question. And the prophet speaks. And at first, I can imagine in my own mind that the prophet is reluctant to say directly what he feels. And at first, you know, he's forced with the idea of standing before a people and looking them in the eye. And I can tell you as a minister, it's not always the most easy thing to do to stand before a congregation and speak what you feel that the Holy Ghost has spoken directly to you. There's always a temptation to backpedal just a step or two. And there's always a temptation to sidestep something and say, you know what, there's something over here that's a little more politically correct. And there's something over, let me meander this trail for a moment and reduce the blow somewhat. And so maybe that's what the prophet is doing. At first, he thinks to himself, could it be that God's ability has faded? And he says, the arm of the Lord has not been shortened and his ear has not been heavy. But to come up with those remarks, first your mind has to analyze and say, could it be that the reason that we're not blessed and the reason that our prayers are not answered, is it because that God's power has faded since the days of old, since the patriarch spoke of the power of God and since Moses marched through the Reds? Has something happened in the power of God? Has it faded over the generations? And so the prophet begins to make this analysis in his own mind, and it doesn't take him very long to recognize, surely this is not the problem. Surely that's not the case. Even by experience, the prophet himself knows that the power of God still reigns supreme. There's no adversary on earth that can compare to the might and the strength of our God. He's our creator, our redeemer, our savior, our healer. And the prophet says, surely this is not the case. His arm is not shortened that it cannot reach. He said, the problem is not in the length of the arm of the Lord. Now, I have to confess that I've felt this inadequacy in my own life many times. Every time I go to a department store to pick up a new suit, I'm just one of those people that never seem to fit what they have, you know, and I've got to have something special done. And you know what that... you know what that particular thing is? That every suit coat that I buy, every single one, always the length of the sleeves have to be shortened. But God never has those inadequacies. There's times I can't reach a light bulb. There's times, every time. There's never been a case, Brother Stafford, that I could dunk a basketball. My entire life I've felt that. That's a weakness. I can't reach it. But oh God, he's still able to reach to the uttermost. The New Testament said to the uttermost, to the uttermost. And secondly, the prophet says, perhaps, maybe, it's not the ability of God that's weakened, for we know, Ephesians 3:20, he's able to do exceeding abundant above all we can ask or think of. According to the power that works, it's not the ability of God. And he moves on and he says, perhaps it's that God has chosen to forsake us. He's left us high and dry at this time because of our sins. He's forsaken us. And then he recollects, no, that's impossible. For God is in all places at all times. He is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. God is always there. He will never leave. And so he rebukes that own thought in his mind. He says, God has not left us. Hebrews went on to verify it again. He will never leave you. And is it perhaps that our voices are not loud enough that the ear of God could not hear us? Surely not. And Isaiah says, the arm of the Lord is not shortened, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Now think about this for a moment. God has the ability to hear you anywhere you are. In the most silent whispers of your heart, God can hear you. God can hear you. Silent prayers still touch the Lord. So how do you know that? They say they've taken prayer out of school, but it's impossible to take prayer out of school as long as they give tests. Because, brother, there's always going to be that silent prayer. God, help me through this. Hallelujah. Culture cannot take prayer out of school. Praise God. But it's like this. My dear wife is here, and we just celebrated 20 wonderful years of marriage, and we have a perfect, wonderful marriage. Hallelujah. We've been blessed. But to be honest, we're just real people. And it's only been just a time or two in 20 years. But there have been moments that I've said the wrong thing, Pastor. I've said the wrong thing a few times. Now, my wife is a wonderful, godly Christian woman. Now, some people respond to that with an argument or with a retaliation, but my wife is like this. When you say the wrong thing, she's just going to get quiet on you. And you can be driving down the road having a conversation, and if finally everything goes quiet, you may ought to examine something you said in the last few minutes. Hallelujah. Now, my voice is loud enough that she can hear me in the passenger seat. And it's not that she cannot hear me, but it's that she will not hear me. There's some brother, and he needs to say amen right about now. You know where I'm at. And so there is a difference in not being able to hear you and refusing to hear you. And so it's not that God cannot hear, but there are moments that he will not hear, according to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Say, well, that doesn't sound like the God I serve. No, that's what the Bible said. That wasn't Brother Welch. There are times when we cross the line. And I want to tell you, if you're not hearing anything in the spirit, if you're not experiencing the blessings from heaven, you ought to take a step back and say, did I cross the line with God somewhere? Did I step off course? Did I say something that was wrong? Did I do something that was out of line? It's not that God cannot hear you, but there are times that he will not hear you. And this is the moment for self-examination. And so I say, darling, what did I say? Oh, you know. And that's a dangerous moment right there. Because you may miss what actually she was upset about and hit three other things that you did wrong as well. But oh, when we come to God, Lord, there's something stifling our communication. The flow of blessing is not what it once was. God, show me where I stepped over the line. Oh, hallelujah. And the prophet finally says, though I've evaded it for a moment, though I've tried to sidestep it, though I've even questioned the ability of God and the presence of God, I've finally come back to where I initially started. And he said, the arm of the Lord is not short, his ear is not heavy, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. And I would like to offer some explanation of why the blessings aren't flowing. Why the peace and the joy of the Holy Ghost is not there. I'd like to offer you some explanation, like a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I'm simply just a mere preacher, and I can tell you in point blank vocabulary, the Bible says when you sense that obstacle, there's usually only one problem. It's not God's ability, it's not God's presence, but it's simply this. It's the man or the woman that's in the mirror. There's something about personal responsibility. When you recognize what you need to do, it opens the door of blessings like nothing else in this world can. Personal responsibility opens the door of healing like nothing else in this world ever can. And so these scriptures in Isaiah indicate that the conclusion was made in a timely fashion. However, it was possible that it took some courage for the prophet to wake up and stand face to face with the people of Israel and finally conclude, you cannot blame anyone else for your current situation. And oh, what a culture we live in that loves to blame everyone else on our problems. Oh, we love to blame everyone else for our problems. But finally, the prophet takes all of the blame away and says, if you're going to blame anyone, blame yourself. And so I come with a simple message today. If in the end that you're lost, if you don't make it to heaven, and if you don't make it to eternity with God and enjoy those blessings forever, you can't blame anyone else. It's not your parents' fault. I'm not saying that you had a perfect childhood. You may have endured things that you shouldn't have, but it's not your parents' fault. It's not your wife's fault. It's not your kids' fault. And even though your boss may not be the best, it's not his fault. It's not your pastor's fault. It's not the Sunday school teacher's fault. But oh, in the end, there's only one that will stand before their creator, and that's you alone. God, I've endured hardships. People have taken advantage of me. It should not have happened. But I have to recognize that if I'm going to be saved, I'm going to have to take personal responsibility in this hour and know that only real repentance, God, is going to save my soul. I can't whitewash it. I can't push it under the rug. But I know I'm a sinner, and I need the mercy and the grace of God to cleanse me from unrighteousness, from evil thoughts, from the words of my mouth, from the actions of my hands. Come on now. And don't act righteous at this moment, but with me, say, God, forgive me and wash me and cleanse me again. Come on now. You see, here's the problem. There's an unfortunate misconception in our modern Christianity, and that is that you can serve God and still yet remain in a sinful lifestyle. And I want to tell you, I'm not here to condemn, but I am here to proclaim the word of God. And if you're going to serve God, you're not going to remain in sin, but you're going to come out of a sinful life, and you're going to be cleansed and washed, purified by the presence of God. I don't know why, but I'm just going to step off and say it like this. Ephesians 5:18, Proverbs 20 and 1, Romans 14, 21, Isaiah 28 and 7, 1 Corinthians 5:11, Leviticus 10 teaches us, all these scriptures together teach us that drinking alcohol is not pleasing to the Lord. Hallelujah. I know this is not for everybody, but there's one right here. Hear me. It's not a casual thing, but God's calling you out of that. They say that 92% of domestic abuse cases are stemmed from alcohol use. Our culture says it's fun, it's entertainment, but families who live with persons who are addicted to alcohol or use it regularly find that it's no fun and it's no games, but many times they're the ones that suffer at the hand of those people. God's calling us. There's a deliverance in this house. There's the power of a Holy Ghost. And it's not just that, but we've got to come out of immorality. We've got to come out of carnal thinking. We've got to get our minds purified, our hearts. We can't live drawn away by our sinful lust, our appetites for greed, but we've got to have the presence of God leading our lives. Oh, hallelujah. And the prophet said, it's not the hand of the Lord, it's not the ear, but it's your iniquities that have separated you between you and your God. And all through the book of Isaiah, you'll find the judgments. But over and over again, you'll see through the book of Isaiah, it says, the hand of the Lord is outstretched still. Almost every chapter you'll find, the hand of the Lord is outstretched still. And I feel that presence of God right now. Though there is a conviction in this house, I can tell you the hand of the Lord is outstretched still. And there's no gutter that you're in that's too deep that God couldn't pull you out of. There's no pit that's too dark that God could not deliver you from. God could deliver people from the crack house. He could deliver people from evil thinking. He can deliver you from false doctrine. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you, you're within reach this morning. If you can hear this preacher, you're within reach. If you can feel what I'm feeling, you're within reach. If you can be honest with yourself, you're within reach. You are within reach. The devil is a liar. He's told you you're too far gone. But this preacher has come to say, you are within reach. Come on, you hadn't failed God too much that he wouldn't reach to you. Recently reading an article, I was moved beyond words again. Of those who endured the hardships, 1941 at Pearl Harbor. You know that was the infamous moment that we were attacked deliberately and suddenly. Those bombs rained down from those aircrafts upon our own servicemen and our ships. Many ships were damaged and destroyed. Among those, the USS Arizona that was sunk in the shallow waters of Pearl Harbor, only 40 feet deep. Now there's a monument, a memorial that many of you have been to commemorate the 1,102 members of that ship who perished on that day. And one of the rescue workers that was there wrote an article. And in the article, he says it like this. It was so tragic. And the ship went down. And the sudden blast killed many people instantly, quickly. However, there were hundreds of men that were not in the immediate area of the blast. And as the ship went down, they began to scramble to the shore. And if they could not make it to the top, they would go into an inner chamber of the ship's hull, and behind them they would close the airtight doors and seal themselves off, hoping that they could be rescued. And he said, in the chaos, in the pandemonium, in the few days that followed the attack, we only had limited resources to rescue those people. The hospitals were overloaded. The rescue men did not have the tools needed. And he said, as we worked on the surface and on the decks of other nearby ships, we could hear the men that had gone down in the ships just the day before. And we could hear their voices, their lifted voices, screaming for people to come and rescue them. He said, they finally, when they could not lift their voice any longer, they would pick up large pieces of iron in the ship and they would begin to beat it against the hull of the ship, trying to get the attention of some rescue workers to save them. And so many people did not perish immediately, but some of them, it was a slow, agonizing death of suffocating in those tragic depths of despair. And he said in the article that finally, after many hours of working and knowing that there were those that we could not get to, he said, it was something that was absolutely driving me insane to hear those voices and to hear the beating of the iron. And he said, I had to take earplugs and put in my ears only to keep my sanity long enough to keep laboring and working. And I want to tell you, friend, as this evangelist stands in this pulpit today, with inadequate words, and sometimes I don't feel like I have the tools I need to reach down as low as some of you are. Surely I cannot deliver you from addictions. Surely I cannot soothe your pain from abuse. But if you can hear my words, I want to tell you, there's something that came to me in prayer when I read of the agonizing, the voices and the beating of the iron and the treachery of that hour and the slow death of those who were lost and undone. And it's simply this: I cannot help you with my short arms. I cannot help you with my limited means. My vocabulary vocabulary may not impress you, but oh, if you could experience something from the Almighty, because God has spoken to me today, and he said, you may feel inadequate, preacher. You may not be able to reach the one on the back row. The one in the balcony may ignore you, but I am not a man. And he said, I have all power, and I've got all resources, and no matter how far down they are, he said, they are within reach. They are within reach. Come on, I feel the hand of God reaching way down into a dark place. He's able to deliver Jonah from the belly of the whale, from the pit of hell, and he's able to deliver your soul. I'm preaching about the Holy Ghost this morning. God's going to give it to whoever wants it. You're not too far gone. You are within reach. Come on and close your eyes. Stand with me all over this house. If you're an altar worker in this church, if you feel led to pray for those, I want you to come now. I need at least 25 people to come and help me stand in this pulpit and look toward the congregation. God's going to fill some with the Holy Ghost today. I need help. Come on, maybe you're not a regular altar worker, but you feel a burden right now to pray. I need 25. Come on, they're here. Church family, every guest, every friend, I'm asking you this one favor as a man of God. Please don't walk out the back door without giving God at least 10 minutes in this altar. Hear what I'm saying. This is a personal favor to me. Please don't leave without giving God at least 10 minutes in this altar. Even if you've never been here before, we love you. We just want to pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to pray for you. Right now, without hesitation, I'm asking 100% of this congregation, make your way to the altar. Come on, every young person, every elder, every middle-aged person, from the balcony, please come down the sides if you will. Please, everybody in this house, please make your way for a few moments to this altar. Come on, we want to pray for you. You're within reach. I feel the reaching power of God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Come on now. This is an hour of destiny. Please don't go out the back door if you don't have to. Please give us a few moments to pray with you. God wants to touch you. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. Come on now. You're within reach. The Word of God will not return void. Come on, the presence of God is about to work in this house. I can't do it, but God's presence is well able. Come on down here. Press your way to the altar. Come on and press your way to the altar. Come on and press your way down right now.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.